Aynen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hardly recognize your voice.
Well, it's me.
I know. You have a good day?
I did.
Good.
It didn't start out so good. Thinking it was Monday at 9 o'clock and I was late for class. Oh.
I kind of got that impression. I'm not even. The only thing you heard me is that there was no class. I don't think you heard me that it was that we don't do the class on Sunday.
Well, I just kept trying to figure out why you were saying 10 o'clock when I knew that it was 9 o'clock, and it just didn't register. But I think because I was so the night before that I missed the class by 10 minutes, and yet I was waiting. That's happened to me several times. The time just gets away from me. But while I was prepared, I had my papers all ready and Oh,
It gets away from me too.
well, see, Tony let me sleep late. That was the problem. He didn't wake me up. And I actually woke up early. It's just I didn't want to wake him up because he sleeps late on days that he doesn't have to go to work, and knowing he enjoys having that opportunity. And what happened was I went back to sleep after 5 o'clock. Anyway, that's the way it goes. If that's the least of my problems, well, I'm doing good.
We have somebody else on the line. I didn't hear them come on, but when I checked, there's two people.
Oh, there are. Oh, okay. I thought I was by myself. Okay.
Let me double check. Unless somebody wants to identify themselves.
Marco.
Good evening. How are
Good
you?
evening. Good.
Okay. So our class tonight is, let me refresh my memory because I did this early in the day. It's class number 17 on the Advanced Reincarnation. that's available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left. That'll give you the landing page, and then scroll down to class 17 for the handout. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yichud.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkin Tebid Hilu Urchi Mood Hilu Ud Hilu Urchi Mood Le'akta L'Shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kononehu. We have already explained that all souls were part of Adam, and that when he sinned, his limbs fell off, and his stature was reduced. The key to properly understanding this is that the body is modeled after the soul. Each one of the physical parts is an embodiment of a part of the soul. The soul of Adam is a grand collective, all-encompassing entity that includes all the souls of mankind. Sin, by definition, separates the self from Hashem. Accordingly, the original sin separated the souls from their root in Adam on the side of holiness and caused them to fall to the Pitra Achra, the other side. Limits are what a person uses to act. Limbs are what a person uses to act. The limbs were used to do the sin. Therefore, they were primarily what fell, in some ways, to a lesser degree. All the parts of the body participated. Therefore, something of them also fell. The Arizal mentions limbs because it was mostly them. As an unwritten commentary, what's being said here is that the legs are limbs, the arms are limbs, but also the heart is a limb. The mouth is a limb. The nose is a limb. The chest is a limb. But all parts of the body, including the nerves, the sinews, the veins, the arteries, the muscles that attach different bones to other bones, these are all limbs. Continuing to read, limbs are what a person uses to act. The limbs were used to do the sin, therefore they were primarily what fell. I'm sorry, I've already read that. On a deeper level, it was the lower sephirot that fell in the shattering of the vessels. From them come the limbs. The sin increased the breakage. Therefore, the corresponding aspect within Adam broke and fell. An unwritten commentary, what is this saying? What is this paragraph saying? Prior to the creation of our world, we have the worlds of Tohu and the worlds of Bohu, using the language from the first chapter of Genesis. The concept of the shattering of the vessels is that the Sephirot, or the worlds that were created in a way that they shared constantly from the higher to the lower, but the lower could not handle all that was being shared, and there was no communication that would say to the lower, say to the higher from the lower, enough. Give it to me slower. Give it to me in less intensity. That caused the breaking of the vessels. That caused the vessel to break and to shatter into pieces and to sparks. And those sparks fell to the other side, to the Sitra Akra, to the Klipot, to the negative system. But that is all on a level that is above Adam. Now we have Adam, who's come into the world, been created, and he's composed of all of these sparks. And all of Adam's soul parts are related to that breaking of the vessels. They're related to what fell into the Sitra Akra. And now they're being elevated out of the Sitra Akra to be in this world of contestation, of fighting, of conflict between the Sitra Akra and Hashem, who has lowered himself to be equal to the Sitra Akra. Continuing to read. Man is created in the divine image. This is not just a one-time model. Rather, it means that there is a continuous connection. All the time, everything any human being does affects a corresponding aspect of divinity above. Sin causes that the infinite light is impeded in different ways to varying degrees in its transmission to this world. According to the nature of the defect, that part of the body that transgressed causes a complication in its root in the divinity above. Therefore, it is specifically as if God's hand, the level affected by the sin, was used to reduce Adam. My commentary. How can man's action affect divinity above? As the prophet tells us, I do not change, says Hashem. It is only through a mental construct created by the sages that our action does impact divinity above. That construct is called the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is described as the female aspect of Hashem. Our actions impact the Shekhinah. Our actions impact the Malchut level of Sephirah. Furthermore, we explained in Chapter 7, Section 1, that most of the souls fell down into the depths of the Klipot, and that only a few remained with him. And this is the secret of the 100 cubits that the sages speak about in reference to the verse, and you laid your hand upon me. The rabbis teach that Adam was originally the first skyscraper. He was as tall as the heavens. After he sinned, God placed his hand upon him and diminished the posture to a mere 100 cubits, approximately 200 feet. The underlying goal of the redemption process is to eventually restore man to his royal divine privilege of full and free access to the king's palace. This is primarily meant as an allegory to teach us what primordial man was and what became of him. Every bit of creation was for his sake, from top to bottom. His spirit therefore reached up and spanned from the highest heights of Atzilut to the lowest levels of where Asiya is. And then the sin diminished his connection above. He was left only with the ability to reach up to the 100 levels of the Sephirot of Briah, with only limited access to Atzilut. The rabbis used the anthropomorphic parable of Hashem's hand that did this to express that Adam fell from Atzilut, the world that draws from the upper three Sephirot, to Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, the worlds that draw from the lower seven, which manifests primarily through the hands. The underlying goal of the redemption process is to eventually restore man to his royal divine privilege of full and free access to the king's palace. Atzilut, the place of only bliss. My commentary. There are 70 levels of Torah. As a commentator says above, the description is allegorical, yet it is also describing those physical worlds or a dimension that has different physical laws from our world and our dimension. In our world, a man cannot be 100 cubits tall. In our world, the tallest human cannot exceed 10 feet. In other dimensions, this physical constraint can be different. We, with our consciousness, are able to travel to these dimensions. We can even communicate with ourselves in these dimensions, as well as with other entities. When we are in these dimensions, we wear the body of that dimension. Kabbalah teaches us how to do this. Now the Arizal will enumerate the different levels of souls within Adam's collective soul. Originally, some new souls which had yet to come into the world were part of Adam, and these are called authentic new souls. And below them was another level made up of the souls that remained a part of him and which did not fall off. They are also considered to be new, but not in comparison to the first level. Zerantin and Nukva are the root spiritual archetype that Adam and Eve are modeled after. After the death of Adam, they were separated from him. When these souls from level 2 enter a body in reincarnation, they are still called new. The reason being that the creation of Adam occurred as a result of an upper pairing called Zivug Elyon, occurring in a manner of being back to back. These concepts are enumerated elsewhere. There are two primary unifications in the Partsufim, Abba and Ima, and Zeranpin and Nukva. The former is an upper unification, the latter a lower unification. Zeranpin and Nukva are the root spiritual archetype that Adam and Eve are modeled after. Therefore, the primal human souls needed to come from their unification. The nature of their unification accordingly establishes the entire nature of mankind. The Arizal explains that Zeranpin and Nukva were originally created back to back. Nukva is the lowest level on the side of holiness. The Klipot are immediately beneath it and are as parasites to that seek to suck energy and life force. The front side of the nukva emanates too much light for the klipot to take. The only place they are able to grab from is the back of the nukva. In order to prevent this, God made Zeranpin and nukva back to back. The vulnerable backside of the nukva was thus protected. The bright front side that was left facing the klipot disallowed them nourishment. The proper full state of unification of any pair of partsufim is only face to face. The proper full state of unification of any pair of partsufim is only face to face. That way the light is directly transmitted between them and flows in full force. The purpose of creation was for humankind. The question is, couldn't God, the Almighty, have set things up in such a way that Zeranpin and Nukva could have unified in the highest fashion, face to face, in order to make his choice creature, who is the point of it all? The answer is that God's specifically position things like this. The stage is set for man to be born into a world of tests where things don't flow so smoothly. The souls are brought into existence from a state of back-to-back, causing them to experience the divine light indirectly. Work is required to change this. Thus, man is not spiritually unemployed. There is another important lesson to be learned from the configuration of the initial unification. Here it is called the upper pairing. The reason for this is as follows. In truth, there can be no unification back to back. When a face-to-face pairing cannot occur below, in the home of Zeranpin and the Nukva, the supernal emanator raises them up to the place of there as if they were parents, Abba and Ima, therefore beyond the reach of the klipot. Unification can occur with no fear. When a person is down and out, then specifically there is a great light and inspiration that lies inside of that situation. What comes out is that Zeranpin and Nukva end up uniting in a much higher place than their own. The fact that they must come to this as a means of refuge to be saved from the klipot caused them the great light of this place. The great light of this place did not shine to them openly. It did, however, plant a hidden seed. As a result, when a person is down and out, then specifically there is a great light and inspiration that lies inside of that situation. If one seeks God from that place, it can result in a very deep connection. From all of this, we begin to understand the entire idea behind the gate of reincarnation. Understanding in general how the souls were brought about grants insight to their general nature and purpose. Understanding specifics leads the individual to grasp details about his own soul route and what to do for its rectification. The more specifics one knows, the more one will be enabled to fix herself, himself. For this reason, every chapter of this work is called an introduction. Each section features introductory principles that teach how to recognize one's soul. and one soul root, and based on that, how to go about its repair. Adam's soul was the granddaddy of all souls. Here the Arizal explains the different degrees of souls in terms of their station in the original collective soul of Adam. There are new souls and old souls, and there are rungs within each of these categories unto themselves. As the lesson progresses, we will see the significance of these categories. Therefore, until it returns to come into the world, when that category of upper pairing is face to face, then it is as if they have come to the world for the first time, and it is a so-called new soul. If after the death of Adam, a soul does not merit to come another time into the world, except during a zivug that is back to back, then it will still be considered to come the first time. This is even though it did not come at a time of a face-to-face zivug, since at least it came after the death of Adam. The first entry of Adam's soul was not considered an official one, since it is the granddaddy of all souls. The souls that follow are considered new, irrelevant of which zivug they originate from. This can be compared to the preface of a book that is not counted as chapter one. My commentary. Since the translator and the commentary, Shabtai Zeicher, passed away, he was replaced by a new commentator, Peretz Auerbach. Peretz Auerbach follows primarily the teachings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. This group of chassids are called Breslovers. Many of the things in this chapter and section were not discussed earlier, and they are coming from commentaries and not directly from the Sefer Sha'ar HaGilgulim. This section is to be read with a grain of salt, whatever this metaphor means. Are there any questions? We have reached the end of section one of chapter 12. Continuing to read. Chapter 12, section 2, New Souls, levels 3 and 4. I am adding, remember this is a review from what the Ari said earlier. Below this level, there is a third one, and these are those that remained with Adam, which his sons Cain and Abel inherited when they were born. It is like level two because they were also part of Cain and Abel. They are not considered to have come for the first time, since they did not come to Cain and Abel after the death of Adam, but rather they inherited them during his lifetime. Therefore, this inclusion in Cain and Abel is not even considered a first time, and instead they are considered as if they are still a part of Adam. While the fruit is still on a living tree, it is looked at as being one with the tree. As long as a person is alive, there is an aspect that his children are counted as part of him. After death, children are considered to be separate. This can be likened to a tree that bears fruit while the fruit is still on the living tree, even though the fruit has its own identity. It is looked for of as being one with the tree. After the tree dies, it attains a full separate identity. The reason why children are reckoned as being part of the parents is that the parents actually give them a piece of their soul, as taught later in the Gates of Reincarnations. Thus the expression, a chip off the old block. Once the parent's soul departs to the next world, this oneness is no longer apparent. Any of these souls that come back to the world after Cain and Abel have died, even at a time of a back-to-back zivug, will be considered to have entered the world for the first time and would therefore be called new. After that, when the person dies and the souls come back into the world, they are said to have reincarnated. That is, they have come back a second time. The newer the soul is, the purer it is. Even though this level is very similar to level 2, still these lesser souls, which were contained in Cain and Abel, are considered to be a separate level from those which remained with Adam himself. They are not considered as new as though those of level 2. They are still considered new, but on a lower level of newness. That's a commentary I just made. The newer the soul is, the purer it is, and the higher its energy level, new souls will be more fine-tuned to holiness and will also be more intensely spiritual. Level 4 souls are those who fell from Adam into the depths of the Klipot, and they are called old souls. This is even when they come into the world for the first time, since they are considered to be old souls that have reincarnated. The more one focuses on living from the soul, the more one transcends time. The Klipot, the other side, is run by our good old friend, the evil inclination, the devil, the angel of death. The Talmud tells that they are all the same character. He is called an old foolish king. The foundational principle of this entire operation is age and oldness. He tries to make a person feel old, set in their ways, and unable to change. Everything in front of our eyes, including the body itself, heads towards death and decapitation. This comes from age taking hold and settling in. This comes from being subject to time. The root of the soul is above time. The more one focuses on living from the soul, the more one transcends time. In simple terms, this means that a spiritually oriented person can more easily renew and change himself. Also, even the good things that such a person does that do not require change, he does with freshness and with vigor. In addition, his consciousness is infused and enthusiasm and enabled to constantly seek to ascend to higher levels. Someone's true age is determined by their state of consciousness. The Baal Shem Tov teaches that a person is where his mind is. One of the many things that this means is that someone's true age is determined by their state of consciousness. There are people who are very old that are really very young, and vice versa. The greatest youth potion is to take is that the greatest youth potion is to take a dose of mind expansion. For example, meditate on the presence of Hashem and how His omnipotence fills and permeates your being. This is one method of renewing the awareness and elevating it to a transcendent state. It draws a rejuvenating light to the soul that can be invigorates the psyche and grant a true taste of what eternal life means. New souls have less trouble renewing themselves. Within this category itself, the higher the class of soul, the easier it is to find to transcend time and live in a state of indefinite, elongated youth. Does this mean that old souls should just throw in the towel and resign? To resign themselves to a life of senior citizenship? Most certainly not. In Song of Songs, an exquisite allegorical love song between the collective root of all souls and God, she, the soul of souls, says to him, "I stored new ones, also old ones for you, my beloved. Renew as an eagle your youth. The lower grade oldest souls, through acting spiritually in their bodies, can be reborn as babies. Coming out of more difficulty, their renewal process is especially beloved and precious to Hashem. Learn to know and understand your soul root. From their place, rectify and elevate. After this comes level 5, which is the lowest of them all. These enter the bodies of converts. Later on, the Arizal adds another piece of the puzzle and tells us that they are from Malchut, the lowest level of, whereas the other souls are from Zeranpin, a step above. This requires clarification, because there are other places that seem to say that the souls of the converts are actually higher. Not with you alone do I establish this covenant, but with He who is here, with standing with us today before God your Lord, and also with He who is not with us today. Furthermore, in this work, the Arizal explains that the 600,000 people that were present by the giving of the Torah were the embodiment of 600,000. They were the embodiment of 600,000 grand soul roots from which all the successive souls that would become to the world are drawn. Not with He who is here, standing with us, means those branches of the roots that were not yet born into the world. Also included was the soul of every convert. They were all there at the giving of the Torah, and they all entered the covenant. Their soul is born into a secular lifestyle. The root connection to the Torah from days of yore draws it back. Precisely in the low, far-off places lie the highest lights. The reason why the souls of the converts must specifically come from the lowest spiritual level is in order to afford their start into a secular lifestyle. This causes them the inherent holiness in their soul is able to bear the clothing of divinity in a materially oriented setting. Eventually, the innate connection surfaces and draws them to a spiritual lifestyle. If their souls would leave, if their souls would have come from a higher place, they would not be able to pass through the intermediary stage of disconnection. That's the end of section two. Are there any questions? Section three, low souls, high potentials. All the souls mentioned above, with the exception of level one, which are the real new souls, are similar inasmuch as they all fell into the depths of the Klipot. However, they did not fall to the same level. For the level two souls which remained with Adam only have one blemish as a result of Adam's sin. Those who went to Cain and Abel have two blemishes, Adam's sins and the sins of Cain and Abel, which are mentioned in Sefer HaTikkunim. This is from the Tikkuni Zohar. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Tikkun. It's the page number in the one of the printings other than Rabbi Ashlag's. Personalities are an outgrowth of a person's soul root. This is a very important thing to know. Personalities are not primarily a product of environment. Rather, they are an outgrowth of a person's soul root. Each person is born with certain tendencies because of their soul's root in Adam and his sons and its position in them. For example, the soul that comes from the hand of Cain that killed Abel will be naturally tending towards violence. All men are not created equal. God is the place of the world. He sees each one's soul root and what headspace and place they are in. Based on this, he judges in the scale of merit and helps each person attain in their rectification. The individual's obligation is to do his best from his unique place. The lesson is that there is no reason to be upset if you have negative tendencies. The measure of success is determined by how much a person tries to rectify from that point that he starts from. This gate of reincarnations is aimed at teaching how to fathom the soul root, what it needs to fix, and how to do it. When the time comes for a soul to leave the Klipot and enter this world, it must first come as an Ibur into the stomach of the upper female Malchut in order to be purified and cleansed from the filth of the Klipot within which they were held. Everything below is modeled after transcendent sources. The stomach of the upper female Malchut is a reference to the Malchut of Atzilut, from which Jewish souls are said to come. Before there can be birth through a woman in this world, the soul must be planted in and born through the supernal feminine aspect. This is a primary example of how everything below is modeled after and comes from transcendental sources. The conception and birth process is a designated to prepare the soul for its descent into this world. A certain head start is given, and the rest is left to do throughout a lifetime. However, the duration of time for which they remained there is not the same for each soul. Rather, it will depend upon its ability and merit to remain there until it is purified completely and renewed. This is the order of the five levels. With respect to the first level, the truly new souls, they can remain within the Malchut, within the secret of the fetal stage, for a period of 12 months, after which time they will descend into a body in this world. Thus we find women whose term of pregnancy is 12 months, as mentioned in the Talmud, regarding a certain incident where he remained 12 months, and then Rava decided kosher. A man has been away for 12 months, after which time his wife gives birth. The question was, did she become pregnant from another man 9 months earlier, or was the fetus from the husband, conceived 12 months prior to the birth? Rava decided that without evidence to the contrary, the latter was the case, and thus the child was legitimate and kosher. This comes to show that there is some expression in the physical world. There is some expression in the physical world of this spiritual reality of a 12-month gestation period for the birth of the soul. Now, since the women should be laughing hysterically, has anybody seen a 12-month pregnancy? I've seen pregnancies go 10 months, but not 12. It's just an indication. A 10-month pregnancy, we assume, is that there was a misconception, that the doctor miscalculated or the woman miscalculated. But in reality, yeah, this is a new soul that needs additional training in the womb before it comes into the world. Level two souls, which remained with Adam and which are considered new to some degree, have the ability to remain within the Malchut for 9 months before coming into the world. Level three souls of Cain and Abel are also considered new on some level, but they have the two blemishes. As a result, they can only remain in the stomach of Malchut for a 7-month period of time. These are the babies born prematurely. Only the higher grade souls can take more purification. Level four, the rest of the souls that fell off of Adam down into the Klipot, even though they have left the Klipot and now descend into this world for the first time, nevertheless, they are like the rest of the previous levels that have come a second time. They are considered to be old and reincarnated souls. Therefore, whether from level four, which has come for the first time, or from the previous levels that have come for the second time, or more, they only remain in the stomach of the Malchut for 40 days, the time it takes to form the fetus. After that, they descend into this world. Level five souls, those of converts only remain in the stomach of the Malchut for 3 days, the time it takes for the seed to fertilize. After that, they come into this world. My commentary. The Talmud teaches that the soul does not come into the body until the 40th day after conception. This is the normal number for people. This is level four. They then spend the rest of the gestation period studying the Torah that they will reveal during their lifetime. The Zohar teaches that their souls come from the union of the righteous, starting with Abraham and Sarah, which do not result in physical conception. Their souls are only a short time in the supernal feminine aspect. They require another step of processing to become actualized. Depending upon the amount of time spent within the malchut, within the secret of the fetal stage, that is how great their light will be and their purification from the effects of the klipot. If so, on the contrary, precisely the lower grade souls are the ones that should stay in the malchut longer, not shorter. It takes stamina to bear a cleansing. Only the higher grade souls can take more purification. The lower the class of soul, the less it can be refined before birth. The more it then requires purification in this world. Again, extremely externally, these souls are worse off. In the deepest sense, these souls are the special channels through which the most awesome revelations are brought into the world. That's the end of section 3. Does anyone have any questions? It's also almost our hour up, so the class is also coming to an end. Tomorrow morning, or actually tomorrow, we have 3 classes. One at 7 a.m. West Coast time, which is the Tanit Dibur. One at 4:30, which is the deeper level of Zohar study for the Parsha of Noach, section 25. And the third level is that of the pen. The third class at 7 o'clock tomorrow will be essays by Rabbi Ashlag. I remind you that Monday morning, our 7 o'clock Tanit Dibur preparation class will include a reading of the Parasha of Bishalach, of the Mana, because that is a good time for that to be read. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
No, but I'm going to have some questions on this teaching, probably on Wednesday.
As long as it's all about the 12-month, it's all, as long as it's all about the 12-month pregnancy, I'll look forward to it.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
On that.
I'll have to find some information on that, but I haven't heard of any other than I think the elephants stay in 12 months, don't they, before they give birth?
No, only 11 months. Only 11
months.
Months,
okay. Okay. Is there any animals in the animal kingdom that does?
No, not 12 months in full. But you also have a relationship between the 11 months and the 12 months in the way we handle the time period for saying Kaddish for a parent. We know that the soul can be in Gehinnom for up to 12 months. So to make sure that we don't embarrass the soul by thinking they needed all 12 months, we stop saying Kaddish at the end of 11 months.
Okay.
I also noticed that babies that are 10-month babies, they tend to be bigger, larger weight, usually 9 or 10 pounds.
Wow. Even larger ones. I've heard of 14-pound babies, which tends to be probably an 11 or 12-month baby, but nobody expects that. So because they don't expect it, they won't calculate it. In other words, the woman, let's assume a woman is not that in tune with her body, and I don't think there is a woman like that, but let's assume that there is. So for 2 months, or even 3 months, she's not aware she's pregnant. Then she becomes pregnant, and she starts counting from there, and the baby is born at the ninth month as she counts it, but she left off the first 3 months. And that is possible for some, I mean, it's theoretically possible. As I said, I can't imagine a woman who's not in touch with her body that way.
Okay, I think.
But we've all heard stories of women who've given birth, and it's a surprise to them.
I never could understand that.
Nobody can understand that, but. Yeah, you know, we've heard the story anyway.
I'm wondering if there are steps, and I'm not sure steps is the correct word, in identifying your soul root. You know, are there characteristics to look for?
There are roots, and there are techniques. And it's really information that you assess from many different levels and sources of information. And we cover that in, I believe it's classes 13 and 13 to 15 of the Sefer Yetzirah class.
Mm-hmm. Well, with me, it just constantly keeps coming up, you know, a certain Sefer Yetzirah, so... You know, and also
that's all. These are also hints.
Okay. That's why I think it's important to keep a folder on yourself that you read every time your birthday comes around, you know, at least once a year, because I think you really begin to see a pattern after a while. But,
correct.
Anyway.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll look forward to your questions, Malka.
Okay. Thank you.
You too, Malka. You help us a lot.
You both have a beautiful evening, and hopefully we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Anuk.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.